Most people think they know their spouse. They believe routine is a sign of loyalty, that a packed lunch, school pickup, and an occasional white lie are all part of the married package. But what if the woman folding laundry at 3 p.m. is also slipping into silk for strangers at night? What if the man she kisses goodbye every morning has no idea that she's being paid thousands to entertain men who could ruin both their lives? Meet Claire, a suburban mother of two, PTA volunteer, and Sunday church regular. She's also one of the city's most sought-after escorts. Her double life is delicately balanced, her husband blissfully unaware. But everything unravels the day her newest client walks into her kitchen, as her husband's new boss. From there, secrets turn into blackmail, and blackmail into betrayal, until there's no turning back. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Perfect Wife, The Perfect Lie. Claire adjusted her ponytail in the mirror and wiped a smudge of jelly from her blouse. The twins had already left for school, and Jake, her husband, was running late for a quarterly meeting downtown. She kissed him goodbye in the driveway, like she always did. Soft, warm, routine. "You're amazing," he murmured into her ear. "I don't know how you juggle it all. I'd fall apart without you." Claire smiled. "I know." He drove off with a thermos of coffee and blind confidence. She watched until the car turned the corner, then hurried inside. In 20 minutes, she wasn't Claire the wife. She was Natalie. Hair down. A long black coat, concealing lingerie beneath. A rideshare pulled up precisely at 9 a.m. She slid into the back seat, checking her lipstick in the rear view. The driver never asked questions. Claire didn't see herself as a prostitute. Not really. Escort felt different. Elegant, controlled. She never had street clients. She worked exclusively through a boutique agency under a fake name, fake resume, fake everything. It paid for the mortgage, the minivan, the private school. Volunteering at a homeless shelter was the story she told Jake to explain the odd hours. Her destination today, the Riverton Hotel, Suite 19B. Client, Victor, age 51. Request, discreet lunch companion, full girlfriend experience. No edge play. Bonus if she wore heels. She earned more in 2 hours than Jake brought home in a week. Victor was polite, silver-haired, and sharper than he let on. He asked about her real life, as if fishing for authenticity, but Claire deflected like a seasoned actor. He tipped $1,000 in cash, plus $200 more to extend the session. He didn't ask for sex until the very end, and even then only after she subtly nodded. Consent was part of the package. Boundaries kept things safe. Back home by 2:30, Claire had time to change into yoga pants and make it to school pickup. She kissed the twins, helped with homework, microwaved lasagna, and asked Jake how the meeting went. "Oh, big news," he said, unbuttoning his shirt. "We got a new executive director. Big fish from the private sector. He's taking over marketing, used to run some consulting firm. Victor something, Victor Sloan." Claire's fork froze mid-air. Jake kept talking. "He's the kind of guy you want to impress. Real no-nonsense. I'm scheduled to meet with him for one-on-one onboarding next week. Apparently he's already got files on all of us. Background checks. That kind of thing." Claire nodded slowly. "Sounds intense." That night, while Jake showered, Claire opened her laptop in the laundry room and logged into the secure agency portal. She found Victor's profile. Last seen. Today. Rating, 5 stars. Notes. Repeat client. Very interested in long-term exclusive. Private message waiting. She clicked it open. One sentence. No punctuation. "We need to talk somewhere private, not through the agency." Chapter 2. Blackmail in a cashmere suit. Claire met Victor at a private bar in Midtown the next afternoon. Not as Natalie, not in lingerie, not in heels. Just jeans, a coat, and oversized sunglasses. He was already seated in a corner booth, sipping something amber. No trace of the flirty smile from their hotel session. This was all business. "I'm not here to expose you," he said. "Relax." Claire didn't sit. "Then why am I here?" "Because you're smart. And because we're in a position to help each other." He gestured to the empty seat. unless you'd rather I tell Jake who I hadn't saw undressing in my hotel room 2 days ago. Claire sat. Slowly. I need an inn, Victor continued. Your husband is old school, trustworthy, and too honest for his own good. I need him loyal, blindly loyal, and I need dirt on people in his department. You have access to his phone, emails, bedroom pillow talk. All I want is intel. You want me to spy on my husband? Think of it as protecting your secret investment and your marriage. Claire's jaw tightened. You could have just threatened me. I don't need to threaten, Victor said coolly. I need a woman who knows how to lie and still look innocent. You've proven yourself. He handed her a burner phone and an envelope. Inside, $10,000 cash. No explanation, just power. I'll text when I need something. You'll respond. Or I make things difficult. When Claire got home, Jake was playing catch in the yard with the kids. She stood in the kitchen, watching through the window, heart pounding. What had she done? What had she become? The next few weeks were a tightrope walk. Victor would text late at night or during school runs. Claire learned to unlock Jake's phone while he slept. She copied emails, memorized client lists, discreetly deleted screenshots. Victor's questions grew more precise. Who's getting promoted? Who's misreporting numbers? Who's vulnerable? Jake remained clueless. He even started bringing her flowers again. You're glowing lately, he told her one night, tracing her back. Is it the volunteering? I love seeing you this happy. Claire cried in the bathroom after he fell asleep. Then came the breaking point. Victor wanted her to install spyware on Jake's work laptop. Something traceable, something that could implicate him. It's just a tool, Victor said. I need leverage on the board. I won't let your husband get hurt. You have my word. Claire refused, flat out. I'm done. You got what you wanted. I'm out. Victor didn't raise his voice. He just sipped his drink and said, Then I'll send Jake the hotel footage, and I'll CC the PTA, your pastor, and the twins' school board. Claire went cold. You filmed me? I record everything. Always have. It's for my protection. And now, yours too, if you cooperate. Claire walked out of that meeting with trembling hands. At home, she dumped the burner, phone in the garbage disposal. But it didn't matter. 2 days later, she received a package on her doorstep. No return address. Inside, a USB drive and a note. Next time I send it to Jake. Chapter 3. Blood, Betrayal, and a Clean House. Claire had never considered murder before. She'd watched enough true crime shows to know it's never worth it, but she also knew that prison meant losing her children, her life, everything. And Victor was escalating. The USB drive wasn't just proof. It was a trigger. If he sent that footage, Jake would divorce her. The kids would hate her. The life she built, based on lies, would implode. She had to end it. Claire began planning in silence. She stopped replying to Victor, stopped showing up. She made herself seem broken, afraid, compliant, quiet. She played the role of the unraveling housewife. Victor bought it. One last meeting, he texted. Let's meet in the suite. No pressure, just talk. She said yes. What Victor didn't know was that Claire had studied every crime podcast, every forensics loophole. She wore gloves, used a burner phone, rented a wig. She brought nothing traceable into the room, except a wine bottle soaked in fentanyl and a hidden syringe taped beneath her blouse. They drank. They talked. She acted desperate. He leaned in, smug and victorious. You're not going to ruin this, Claire. You're smarter than that. She smiled and jabbed the needle into his thigh. Victor convulsed, gasped, went silent. Claire cleaned the suite with surgical precision, wiped prints, discarded evidence in 3 locations across the city, checked out of the hotel like a ghost. It was an overdose on paper, tragic, unfortunate, but unsurprising for a man with secrets. No one traced it to her. Victor's death hit the company like a storm. An investigation began. Internal audits, backgrounds re-examined. Jake's department was cleared, and he was promoted. They even offered him Victor's job. Claire deleted every trace of Natalie from the agency's portal. She gave up escorting, burned the lingerie, took a real volunteer job at the shelter. For months, she lived in fear. But no footage leaked. No detectives came knocking. Life smoothed out. Jake never suspected a thing. One night, as they watched the twins ride their bikes down the driveway, Jake kissed her temple. "I always knew you were stronger than you let on," he whispered. Claire nodded. He had no idea.